Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've been following me over the past several weeks, we've been hosting the conversation out of my new book, Our Father's DNA Switched at Birth. That's right. So those of you who have already gotten your copy, I know you've been following along with me. Thank you so much for participating and sharing the good news across social media for Our Father's DNA Switched at Birth, available on Amazon today. So go on over and get your copy and enjoy the conversation as we continue our journey today from our Father's DNA. What a great opportunity it is to know exactly what God's intentions were when he sent Jesus Christ. I know the church as a whole has kind of gotten away from the true meaning of Christianity, but it is our mission to help the church of Jesus Christ to understand the simplicity of the gospel and the finished works of Jesus. This grace, this unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor that we are lavished in is available to us even though we are living the lives that does not look like what the Bible talks about. So we want to change that. We want to reflect the good news in our everyday waking, walking, talking lives. We continue our journey, as I stated in my new book, Our Father's DNA. And today we're on page 75 of that book, if you have a copy of it. And we're going to have this conversation about what happened in the very beginning with God bringing forth this woman out of the man. And you've heard over the years how women have been given the bad rap. Women, if it wasn't for that woman, because man, Adam, the male side of man, the male side of the man that God created, was blaming the female side of the man for disobedience to God. So throughout the ages, humanity got stuck right there in Genesis 3 and are still blaming the woman and are not taking into consideration what Jesus did on that cross. Nor did they take into consideration what actually happened in Genesis 3. Much of it is based on preconceived ideas and age-old teaching that was not clear. And it's just passed on information, inherited teaching, rather than revelation teaching. So let's take another look at that today. And it's going to be a blessing to you, I am sure. We discover this first lady and the word helpmeet. So we're going to talk about the word helpmeet. We will look at what God's intention was to bring alongside someone that would reflect what was on the inside of man. So the word helpmeet means woman or wife. The seed of everything was in itself, as we've talked about in our Father's DNA. God reached inside of humanity and he pulled out the part of humanity which had the womb. The part of man that came from the inside out was called woman, and that is the man with the womb. Womb meaning the place of gestation before birth. And wherever there is a womb, there is the potential for life. Before there was a helpmeet or the man with the womb, the potential for man to continue was not there. God brought forth every living thing, the things, the creatures of the sea and the air, birds of the air, the things that creeped upon the earth were there. But when he looked at mankind, there was no one with him. So there was no potential for man to recreate himself. So God brought a womb into the picture. God wanted mankind to be able to continue the life force. And he set mankind in a position to never stop producing life. Now, take a walk with me through this. In order for man to continue to be productive, he had to have a womb. I chuckle because I could feel men go, what? He had to have a womb. He could not be, he could not reproduce without a womb. Isn't that still the case today? Well, except for the laboratory things that they are doing, right? Okay. Man had to have a womb. So in order to produce life. So God took woman, the man with the womb, out of man, and then he presented her to the man. He put man to sleep and made him from the stardust and brought him to a place that he was no longer conscious of his surroundings so that he could bring forth that creation out of him. So man needed to see his potential. He called her woman because she was taken out of him. She was taken from the innermost part of him. So she was my deep, deep desire. Yeah, she was taken from inside. She was his deep desire. She was his longing. So he brought forth his longing out of him. And man said, whoa, there she is. There it is. There it is. Man needed to see his potential. He needed to see his God source was inside of himself. The ability to reproduce was within him. And the only way it could come forth was God had to bring it forth. And so that man could continue to increase, to multiply, and to replenish the earth. Wanted Adam to see that the woman was for him, that she was made, taken out of him, and she was for him. He brought her to him for him to keep her, to dress her, to tend to her, to nurture her. You see, he was given charge over the garden to take care of woman, to take care of creation, everything God had made. And he gave humanity. And at that time, woman was still inside of man. So he gave humanity dominion and authority to reproduce, to increase, to multiply. And she was taken out of him so that he could go to her so that they could increase, multiply, replenish the earth. And Adam said she was good. I gave her back to you, God said. And no man shall separate the two of you, as Moses wrote the book of Genesis. And the two shall be one. And what God has joined together, no man shall put asunder. She is now bone of my bones, is what man said to her. You're bone of my bones, girl. You flesh of my flesh. God had done to Adam what he did to himself. God reached inside of himself. Everything came out of God. So whatever man came out of, it came out of the substance that came out of God, right? Everything back to its original source. So man coming out of God, coming out of himself, then God takes the woman, the male side of the man, out of the man. And so now he can reproduce himself. Adam could now go forth and reproduce after his kind, just as God had produced after his kind. He made man in his image, after his kind, after his likeness, in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every creepy creep that creepeth upon the face of the earth. God took the humanity out of his divine nature, his divinity code, his DNA, his DNA. And God saw that it was good. In 2 Peter 1:4, the Bible says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says, so now you are partakers of his DNA. We now have reproduced God's DNA in the earth. God reached in and he took the womb out of humanity. It was all inside of God, and God formed it out of himself, even the dust of the ground. Everything came out of God. I can't overemphasize that, because we get to be in this place where we think that we are doing something. But even our own intelligence, our ability to create things, our ability to build and to do all of the things that we can do as human beings, the good side of all of that came from God. And because Satan has gotten in and corrupted it, it does not mean that the origin of it did not come from God for a good purpose, for a divine purpose, to continue his DNA in the earth. Let's look at Genesis 2:22. It states, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man, being the innermost part of Adam's being. This is something that looked like him. She could walk like him. She could talk like him. The other creation or created beings, animals did not look like Adam. They didn't walk like him. He had no yearning for the animals. Dog was not his best friend. There were dogs then. Women were made to be the source of life, the helpmeet, and not the punching bag or the doormat. But she was brought to man as a gift to walk with man, to become one with man, not for him to lord it over her or to cause her to feel inferior to him, but for him to recognize her value and her authority and her power, and to allow her place in this world to grow and to expand, so that she can be the individual that God intended for her to be from the foundation of the world. Remember, she too was handpicked by God, was chosen by God. And because God said it was not good that man should be by himself, he brought a woman into the picture. So it's not good that man can think that he can operate independently without a woman, or to think that he's a know-it-all. Okay, now, don't shout me down because I'm teaching good, or that he's a know-it-all, or he's superior because he's a man. That is foolishness. We all came from one God, so there are no superior male or female beings. We are all one. Women have just as much rights to be whatever they want to be as a man. And I don't know what the big to-do is about a female president. Women, we are so far behind God. We are so far behind, because we still are trying to produce one female president of this country, because we don't see through the lenses of God. That's why corruption continues, because we cannot see through the lenses of God. All women and all men are equal in the sight of God. The Holy Scriptures teach us that in Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, because we are all one in Christ Jesus. We're the same. So I have just as much right to run for the president as Malcolm does, or anyone does, as any man does. You as a woman should not restrict yourself because of your gender. Whatever your yearn is, whatever your passion, your desire is, it has come from God. And the world is yours to do in it whatever you desire to do. We just pray that you will do something that is of service to mankind. So I needed to pause to say that, because that's good teaching any day of the week. There is power in God's DNA. I said this early on when we began this series, this teaching series, is that, you know, people are spending a lot of money trying to discover their genetics, ancestors, and then some of them are so disappointed because their ancestors are not the people they thought they were. They were feeling so good about themselves, and some people were feeling a little lost. So they went on this search for their ancestry. They wanted to know where they came from. I know some African Americans are said to have gone back to Africa to try to find their tribe. And sometimes the information you gather is information you rather not know. And the thing about life, you cannot unknow what you know. Once you've discovered something, it's difficult to wash it out of your mind. You can do it, but you have to put it on hold, but it's still there. It's difficult to unknow something, you know that. So that search and that quest for physical, genetic, and biological genetic codings does not prosper us at all. What's a blessing to us is know what the Father God has intended for our lives and how he wants to bless us and how he wants us to come to a place of knowing and acknowledging the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us so that we can walk in this newness of life and be filled to the full, to the overflow with all that God has intended for us through his DNA, and that we don't have to continue to be tossed about by old genetic codings from our moms or dad and our previous ancestors that had all kinds of problems. I hear my dad speak of his father and his grandfather. Now, when he speaks of his grandfather, it is a different story than when he speaks of his father. It's like, okay, I can choose to be associated with my great grandfather, but my grandfather, not so much. Not so much. Some stories you rather leave untold, right? You just don't want to know what those people did. So those of you who have been spending money going on the quest, help yourself. Go for it. Knock yourself out with it. As for me, I am happy with knowing and getting to know God's DNA that is made available to me in this earth, and how I have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness, how he loves me so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die in my place on the cross so that I can have access to the kingdom of God. And if you don't believe it, one day you will. I just hope you believe it while you're still in your body so you have an opportunity to shift some things on your way out of here. Because Jesus really did come to this earth, born through a Virgin Mary, died on a cross, was put in a borrowed tomb, rose on the third day, and is alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father. And honey, that message will never change. I've got to take a prayer pause, but I'll be back in one moment.
The Out and Out Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
mankind, you're a man, you wake up from this deep sleep, and standing before you is this form that you don't see anywhere else around you. You haven't seen it. You don't even know what it is. It's shapely, beautiful, the most beautiful form you've ever seen in the garden. And she's being given to you by the Creator. The one who created you has now brought you a helpmeet. And you're in awe because you see how much the Creator loves you, that He would not leave you alone. So He added someone to your life. This DNA that she was made out of came from you. And the DNA that you were made from came from God. So it's the same DNA. She's called man. She's called woman, the man with the womb. She was taken out of you. She came out of that which had come out of God. That's powerful, ladies and gentlemen. The very thing that came out of God made you, woman. The next step in creation then was to define roles and responsibilities, because now we have man and we have woman. And in Genesis 2 and 24, when Moses wrote this, as a matter of fact, Moses wrote the Pentateuch, and the Pentateuch is defined as the first five books of the Bible. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Leave his father and mother. Yes, get up. You got to move out, brother. 40 years old, you can't bring your wife home to your mama and live there. You've got to have your own house. You got to have your own place before you bring a woman into it. In this age that we're living in, we see so many upside down relationships, I call them, because they're not doing it God's way. They're moving in together and they're establishing a marital relationship without establishing marriage. They're doing it backwards, and they're wondering why life doesn't always work. I'm not saying that people can't repent and get it straight. I'm not going to back off of this, ladies and gentlemen, because it's so popular. Sin is popular. God is wanting people to repent. He didn't design women for you to just give your bodies away to a man that He didn't bring into your life. And if He is worth His salt, He will want you to do it God's way. And if He doesn't, tell Him to, what is that saying? Let the door hit you with the where the good Lord splits you. Well, they do say that. I've heard it. Have you ever said that to anybody, Dr. Faye? No, I haven't. But really, bid them Godspeed. Get them out of your life, ladies. If you feel that there's a man in your life and he's wanting you to go places that you don't want to go with your body and your mind, you tell him to go. Don't give me that, but I love him. I don't want to hear that. I'm with Tina Turner on that one. What does love have to do with it? Yes, you are so valuable that God just strategically framed us and made us and molded us. You were worth an investment from the Father Himself. And if a man does not want to invest in you, then you can tell him to go on down. Look, brother, thank God for you. Thank God you want to take me to church and sit next to me on the pew and all that. But I'm expecting God to do better than this. Not me, maybe you don't want to be that crude. But I'm expecting God to do something in my life. And I know what He has for me. The trouble is that so many women compromise. You compromise who you are, and you sell yourself so cheaply. You sell yourself for a cup of coffee.
You sell yourself for a donut, and you are worth so much more. God has put a high price on you. Jesus paid the price for you. You deserve a king, but you must work on becoming a queen. Be your own, I don't know, just love yourself enough that you will stop giving yourself away. You don't move in with a guy. No way. And then put your name, really. And then it goes south, and here you are homeless. This is happening, folks. This is poor people are living. God brought the woman to the man, and that was an order of things. And anything out of order is chaos and confusion. The world has run with this living together. My grandmother used to call it shacking. Shacking. I guess I don't even know where the term derived. I have no idea. But she used to call it shacking. And when you said that, everybody knew you were illegal. You were illegal. You were in an illegal communion, relationship. So you needed to get that straight. Now, people can change, can turn, and go on to get married, but you still have to put that in order. As for your children, your children's children, you know, put some things back in order. It is not okay to just give yourself away like that. Make him, and you can make him. I don't mean like forcing him in that word, but present yourself in such a way that you demand respect. Okay, I'm done with that, I think. Mother and father. He said you have to leave your mother and father. Adam and Eve were the only two beings in the garden at that moment. So when Moses wrote this, he was writing it because the human race had grown. And so he's writing it from that place. And I know when I first read that and I thought, what mother, what father? These are the only people there. But then I thought about it. Moses wrote it. So this is generations after this had happened. Surely God is not telling them to leave him. He wanted them to have a relationship with him. He wanted them to continue to walk as one in the garden, having the same authority, having the same power to increase and multiply. Moses' experience had taught him that men should leave mother and father and be joined to their wives, to go out and develop, build an empire, build a kingdom for you and your wife, and to begin to raise up a family and to nurture her, to cherish her, to protect her. And protection is a big word, but yet so many women feel unprotected and not safe in these relationships. Moses is writing about the insights of the law, knowing that it is a man's responsibility and responsivity to prepare for his wife and to make sure she is covered. Man is to get his instructions from God and not from his father and mother as to how to take care of his wife, but he should know how to govern his own household. And if the parents haven't taught him by the time he's married, then there's nothing else to say. The first couple had sinned. They disobeyed the voice of God. Both Adam and his wife both knew the word of God. They both had access to the Father, and they both disobeyed God. The idea of being as God's was appealing to them. They were expecting something they did not have, but what they did not know in Genesis 3, that what the serpent was telling them was they already had that identity. They already had that. And the serpent presented to them a word outside of the word of God. Whenever you receive another word, another gospel, then you are receiving the fruit of receiving that word. You follow? Whatever you receive, you receive. And if you receive the negative report, then you receive the negative report. If you receive the good report, then you receive the good. They received what the serpent said, so then they became one with that word of the serpent. And it's been debated time and time again about an apple. It was not an apple. Let's take it in the spirit. God is spirit. So let's hear it in the spirit. They received the word. Had they not received the word, there would not have been a change. There would never have been a shift. There would never have been a fall of mankind. We would have still been in the garden as God intended it. The earth would have multiplied and been beautiful all over the place instead of all of these other issues that we have, right? But mankind decided to listen to the voice of the serpent, receive another word. So what the serpent was doing, he appealed to their pride. He appealed to their appetite, their flesh. He appeared to pride, you know, their greed. And so they thought that they were absence. They had an absence of something and they did not. They had everything. Everything was already in the garden. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Everything was already there in the garden. There was no lack. There was plenty. And in my mind, I see them choosing a fruit, pulling the fruit, and the fruit replacing itself. There was no need for watering the garden. There was no need for tilling the garden. There was just no need for any of that. But all of that shifted when they received another word. And in Genesis 2 and 25, before Genesis 3, of course, before they listened to the words of the serpent, received those words, the Bible says that they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were not ashamed because there was no awareness of anything but God. They weren't focused in on themselves. They were focused in on God and each other, what God had given them, what the Lord had put in front of them. And so they were naked, but they were not ashamed. They weren't aware of not having everything. And so Moses makes a point in this statement. He's emphasizing the purity of their walk. They were one with God. They had not eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the man and the woman had no awareness of good or evil. They were only aware of Father God, our DNA source. They were only aware of him. The awareness of God was about to shift as we approach Genesis chapter 3, as they opened themselves up to hear that other voice, that other word. They were about to experience a shift in their relationship with God that would make a mark that only God could erase. That's how impactful their decision would be upon humanity. They were about to disrupt the entire system and destroy what God had set in place. The position of the woman was too far away from the one she came from. Now, I want us to look at Genesis 3 here as we prepare for this next segment. I want us to talk about this as we continue this teaching. Think about it. Now, woman came out of man, was designed to be his helpmeet, to go alongside of him. And it wasn't good that he be alone. So there shouldn't have been an opportunity for the woman to be in front of nor behind him, but alongside of him at all times. Because the only person they could speak with other than God was each other. So where else would they go? He couldn't go off hanging out with the lions, tigers, and bears. She wouldn't go off and just hanging out by herself. They two stayed together. They fellowshiped together. They were in communion together. But something happened between Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. I don't know what that something was. Moses does not record it. But we see the recording of leaving mother and father, being joined together, being one. And then we enter the room of Genesis 3. And it begins with this word. It states that now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman. Now, when I read that, I picture this, that I just walked into the room and there's a conversation going on. Now, this tells me that there were previous events that were going on, that there was something else happening up to that moment. And now here it is. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, they were in the middle of a conversation as we walk into the room. How long this conversation had been going on, I have no idea. But it was long enough for more words to be exchanged than should have been, for the time it took to convince the woman that it was okay to disobey God. How many times have you felt a nudging in your heart and your spirit about to do something, and you prolonged it, you put it off, and you know, and the more you put it off, the more you didn't want to do it, because time does make a difference. And so the more the serpent spoke with her, the more she began to hear what he was saying. His words became her words. He was able to convince her. His argument convinced her that it was okay to do something God did not say. How many of us are listening to other voices today and telling us it's okay to do something that God did not tell us to do? And we're getting into situations that are difficult, challenging, because we did not listen to the nudge. We did not hear the voice of God. We swayed away from what the Father wanted us to do. And if you're there, let me tell you, this is a great day to turn around. It's called repent. Just say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to get this straight. Help me to follow your lead in this dance of life instead of doing it my way. I've got to take a prayer pause, but don't you dare miss a moment of this message today, because it's revolutionary. And I know that it will impact your life in such a way that you'll want to share it across social media. And make sure you join me for the encore at 4 o'clock p.m. today, right here on the network, because it's going to be a blessing to you. Share it, like it, and thank those of you also who have purchased Our Father's DNA. You can get a copy of it today on Amazon. Go over there now and get a copy. I take a prayer pause, but I'm coming back with more of this anointed teaching on the first woman.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
So here she is, as beautiful as can be. Yes, she smells better than all of the flowers in the garden. She looks better than anything, anywhere. Because God made this woman. You do understand that. So she's beautiful. And so the serpent is even having conversations with her. That doesn't that tell you just how beautiful this woman obviously was? That the serpent wanted to talk to her? Some of you are thinking, oh yeah, I've had a few snakes talk to me too. I hear you, girls. But the serpent was getting into her, like, I really want to have a conversation with this woman. But he was placing deposits, words in her that God did not want to have in her. In Genesis 3 and 6, it said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the man with the womb, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Yes, well, number one, she should not have been in a position that she could just take fruit and give it to him. He was given the position to have her as a helpmeet. And he sat back, and men, listen, he sat back and he allowed her to feed him. Now, there are a lot of men sitting back and allowing women to feed them. You know that. That's out of God's order. Say, oh, there she goes again. Yes, I am going there again. That's out of God's order. You're sitting back, women taking care of you. That's not God's way. No, it's not. You either do it together or you take care of her. Do it together or you take care of her. There's no other way. Nope, no other way. Not unless there are some men that may have some issues physically that require more assistance. He was standing in the wrong place. He should not have been in a position where she was turning to him, feeding him. He should have been in the position of turning to feed her, to take care of her. Yes, yes, and yes. It's good teaching. They were so far away from the ordinance of God. Walking with God in the cool of the day was man's consciousness of who he came from. It kept him conscious of God. Fellowshipping with God will keep you conscious of God. Fellowshipping through prayer, reading his book, will keep you conscious of God. That is God's way. I'm not preaching at you. I'm ministering to you and sharing some things that are true. And they are true because they are true. He was conscious of Christ. He was having conversations with God. And then when he began to listen to the voice of the serpent, the conversation with the evil forced them downward instead of upward and into the state of total unconsciousness. And it was a disconnect from God, from everything that God had said, from his flow, from his energy, from his presence. They were disconnected. Click, it was off. So then God came for them because their presence was not in his presence. You know, when we pray and we're reading his word, we are hungering for the presence of God. And in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. When we are fellowshipping with him, God is aware that we're there. Don't ever think that you're praying and God's not aware. Whenever you're taking time and setting time aside to talk to the Father, he's very much aware that you're there. It may not be for 1 or 2 hours. Some days it may be for 5 minutes, but he's aware that you're there. How could he not be aware? As a child of God, he lives and dwells on the inside of you. If you're not a child of God, you certainly want to be. It's easy. It's free. Salvation is. Yeah. It'll cost you repentance. You have to turn. This awareness of God and his presence was lost. Those of us who experience the presence of God, we never want to not experience his presence. We never want to not know that he's there. No matter what's going on in our world, we want to know that the presence of God is there. Maybe you are having an issue in your marriage. You're having circumstances in your relationships, no matter what they are, and you're having trouble in those waters. He's right there. Maybe you're saying that God doesn't love me like that. He doesn't know me like that. Yes, he does love you like that. Yes, he does know you like that. Yes, his hand is extended, and he's always there waiting for you to turn. Can you imagine having everything at your back? Yeah. And all you have to do is turn around. Yeah. And there he is. There it is. There is the world. There is heaven right there within your reach. Eternal life within your reach is not afar off. I'm not saying go join a church. I am saying turn. Turn. Because wherever church or whatever church you're supposed to be, he'll direct your steps. I'm confident of that. But I encourage you to simply turn and experience his love today. Experience his calling, your name in the garden. Experience him wanting to show you everything he has for you. Because he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You no longer have to live in this world distant from him and listening to other voices that are telling you that you can't make it, that you're too old, or you're this or you're that, or you failed so many times. How dare you get up again? What are people saying about you? What are they thinking about you? Get those voices out of your head by getting his voice in your heart. You listen to him. He will lead and guide and direct you and show you love beyond love. And maybe you're in a compromised relationship and you know you need to step out of that thing. You know you need to run for your life. If you'll turn, you'll find yourself never alone again. You'll find yourself being so full of joy and peace because you know he's right there. The situation may not immediately change, but the change that will take place on the inside of you will be a well that will never run dry. You'll find an inner peace that will pass your intellect, that will pass your own human wisdom and finite understanding of things into a place of illumination in heavenly transformation, because Father God loves you just like that. Aren't you glad that he will never leave you nor forsake you? He's there tapping on your shoulders and turn around. You've been running, but you're running in the wrong direction. Turn around. I'm here, over here. Turn. Mankind disconnect from God. Disconnected humanity from the garden, heaven on earth. That's what happened. He was disconnected from experiencing heaven on earth. And in Genesis chapter 3, the Lord God was calling. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, boy? What happened to you? Where are you? You notice he didn't say, hey, Eve, where are you? Whose name did he call? Adam, where are you? What happened to you? You're no longer praying. You're no longer in my presence. You're no longer worshiping me. You're no longer reading my word. This is, yes. You're no longer fellowshipping with me. You don't give anymore. You don't share your tithes, your offerings, your gifts. You don't sacrifice anymore. Where are you? And Adam spoke up and said, we heard your voice. I heard you, Lord God. I heard your voice. But I was naked and ashamed. And God said, who told you you were naked? Where did you get that data? Who downloaded that information into your mind? Who made you aware of anything other than who I am? And then the blame game started. He said, that woman that you gave me, he's blaming God at this point. That woman that you gave me, she received something and she passed it on to me. And then the woman, the serpent, talked me into it. And then God said, that's it. You've been disconnected from having heaven on earth. And I know some people will say, well, why didn't God just stop them? Free will is a beautiful thing. Free will gives us the right to obey, and it gives us the right to disobey. Yes, because God doesn't want to force love. Who does? He wants those who are willing and obedient. Obedient is a grace word. He wants those who willfully surrender their lives to him and say, Lord God, I choose to serve you. I choose to worship you. I choose to walk with you. I choose to be in your presence. I choose to read your word. I choose, I choose, I choose. Humanity had chosen. Therefore, they were disconnected from experiencing heaven on earth. And then God began to pronounce some things over their lives that would affect the rest of humanity for thousands and thousands of years to come, where man now had to work by the sweat of his brow. Before then, man did not have to work by the sweat of his brow. Whatever he called a thing, that's what it is. Whatever he said, that's what it was. And the turn of those pages, the turn of life, when it shifted from man not having to work the ground that God created to work in the ground that God created, brought death. But did it bring immediate death in Genesis 3? No, it did not. It brought death and didn't bring life. Adam eventually died, and it brought the death of their connection with God, their fellowshipping with God. Did God stop loving them? No. So he told man, you're going to have to till the ground. You're going to have to go to work, boy, because now you've taken from what I never wanted you to take from. Now that you've been exposed to this, you will not be unexposed to it. You will not know it, because now that you've been exposed to evil, you've been exposed to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that there is something outside of heaven, that there is something outside of God, then there must be a shift in the way that you live on earth. Because he had told them, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And I believe the original translators wrote, in dying, you will die. In dying, you will die. That's where sickness and disease came in. That's where poverty came in. All of the things that we're at war with today came in Genesis 3, because man violated the word of God. He did not listen. He disobeyed him. And he told the woman that in childbirth, you're going to have pain through childbirth. Now, I don't know what the plan was before then for them to multiply, where the woman was not supposed to have pain. She would have children and there would be no pain. Sounds like it, because after Genesis 3, there would be pain in the labor. And there's been pain in the labor since. But then there are women who said, no, I didn't have any pain. Yes, yes, and yes. So this woman, this first woman, was not sent to create havoc in the earth, but to be a helper to man and to be a helper to humanity. They were one in life with God, and they were one in disobedience with God. And I've heard theologian after theologian state that if man had not received it from the woman, he would have maintained his position. I totally disagree, because they were one. They were both made from God, and whatever came into her house came into his house. Whatever the woman brings in, she brings in. There is no separation. Sin is in the house, is sin in the house. The first Adam had a womb that was open for the power of disobedience. A curse came on all of those from Adam to Christ. God's plan of redemption opened another womb, and that was the womb of the Virgin Mary, to give birth to the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That womb of Eve became unrighteous. The womb of Mary became righteous. That womb of Eve sold us out, but the womb of Mary bought us back. That womb of Eve became a traitor and not justified. The womb of Mary justified us and became a trusted confidant, an advocate, a mediator between God and man. He became the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. That's who he is today. The First Lady opened the words of the serpent, received the words of the serpent, and Mary received the words of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you today, that which the First Lady did, another lady came along and brought it back to us. And through the womb of the Holy Spirit, we can now experience our Father's DNA, where he has birthed himself inside of us to never leave us nor forsake us, and has given us all things richly to enjoy, that we're no longer sitting on the sidelines wondering whether or not God will walk with us and be with us. He's made his resident on the inside of us and promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The First Lady listened to the serpent. This last lady listened to God. Aren't you glad that Mary listened and was obedient and surrendered to the Holy Spirit? I am. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the Holy Messenger, the Holy Spirit. I ask that you would touch the hearts and minds of every person within the sound of my voice and let them leave this place looking through your lenses. Let them leave this place more empowered and more aware than they've ever been before. And we pray for every person who listens to turn, to repent, to turn to you, because you're waiting right there to receive them as your child. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you again for listening to today's teaching. I so look forward to hearing from you. Write me at drfay@americaoutloud.com. And make sure to pick up a copy of Our Father's DNA, Switched at Birth, right there on Amazon. God bless you. Until next time, this is Dr. Faye. Make it a great day. Don't forget the encore at 4.